Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We're going to pick up our Sunday school lesson that we left off on a couple weeks ago. It was a blessing to have Brother Matt Gresham and his family with us last week, and he preached during the Sunday school hour and did an excellent job. So y'all pray for him and his family. They're praying for the will of God for their life, and he told me the other day he's 95% sure they're moving down here.
Amen.
But there's still that 5%, so y'all pray. His biggest thing right now is, you know, the Lord will provide a job, and if he does that, he's going to come on down. So if it's God's will, he'll work it out. And if not, I know that God will use him wherever he goes. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15, we're continuing our study on how to study the Bible. And it's something that's very important for every Christian to do. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment in the Word of God for a Christian to study their Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself to what? Y'all talk back to me. Study, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so it's very important, and it's a commandment of God for every Christian to study the Bible. And a lot of folks go through their Christian life not knowing what the will of God is for their life, but one of them is to study. To study His Word. This is a love letter that He left for us. Amen. And so we're commanded to study. And so just a brief overview of what we talked about. We went over some things about studying the Word of God. And the very first thing is you got to be saved. That's a good place to start if you're going to study God's Word. Amen. Because you can go through it all you want all day long, and you're not going to understand the things of God's Word if you're not saved. The carnal man cannot understand the things of God. Only the spiritual man. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He teaches us, so you got to be saved. And not only that, but number two, you have to believe that this is the Word of God.
Amen.
If you're going to study God's Word, you got to believe that this King James Bible is the Word of God. And you have to believe it from cover to cover, amen? And I believe the inscriptions at the very end of the books and the titles and everything, that God inspired those things down through the ages. And that's what I personally believe. And some people might think a little differently, and that's fine. You go pastor somewhere you want to and teach what you want to. Amen? But I'm pastoring here, and that's what I believe. And I believe this is the Word of God. And you know what? Because I believe this is the Word of God, I can get something out of this book.
Amen.
If I didn't believe that this was God's Word and I studied it, then I would just take and choose what I wanted to and say, well, I don't agree with that. I'm going to go look in this Bible or go read this commentary, and I would take this commentary's opinion over the Word of God, and that's not the way to do it. So the number two thing, you got to believe that this is the Word of God. And we dealt with that for a couple weeks. And then thirdly, you got to search the Scriptures. To study God's Word, you've got to search the Scriptures. And what I mean by that is you got to get in there and you got to find the verses and search them out. When you study or you want to study a subject on the Bible, not every time is everything you need to know in one verse. You've got to go look at other verses on that matter. And you got to search the Scripture. You got to compare Scriptures with Scriptures. And we looked at some examples of that 2 weeks ago. We found out, we read one verse, Job 40 verse 1, that talked about Leviathan. And when we started out, we didn't know who Leviathan was, and we compared Scriptures with Scriptures and found out that he was a dragon and that he was the devil. But if you're just reading that one verse, you got to search the Scriptures and compare Scriptures with Scriptures. So this morning, we're going to go on to the next thing on how to study the Word of God. And every Christian, if you want to be approved of God, that's the only place I find in Scriptures that says you can be approved of God. And that's by studying His Word. Amen? God loves His Word. The Bible says over in the book of Psalms that He's exalted His Word above the name of His Son. Above the name of Jesus Christ, that He's exalted His Word. And so it's God puts a lot of stock in this Bible. And sadly, most Christians, man, when they get out of church, it ends up on the floorboard of their truck and stays there till we go digging for it next Sunday morning. And that's a sad place to be, amen? Or collecting dust on the shelf throughout the week or putting a drink on it or all those things. God has magnified His Word, amen? He's lifted His Word up and He's died so that we can have this book today. Other than the Holy Spirit of God, this is the closest thing we have to Jesus Christ this morning is our Bible. But yet it's one of the most neglected things that we have. Amen. I don't like anybody putting anything on top of my Bible.
Amen.
I don't like nobody putting drinks on it. I don't like putting a plate on it or stacking a bunch of other books on top of it. I don't like doing those things. Amen. This is God's holy word. There's a lot of people, they will not leave their house without their cell phone. They won't. If they leave it, they'll go right back and get it.
Amen.
But if they leave out, I take my Bible goes, I have a Bible with me everywhere I go. That's how much this thing means to me. Amen. But we'll leave out, amen, even on a Sunday morning and leave our Bible at home, but we won't turn back and get it, but we'll go get that cell phone. That just kind of shows where our priorities are. But man, I love my Bible. And that's the only thing that I can find in Scriptures that shows how we can be approved of God. And I don't know about you, but I want God's approval.
Amen.
I want God to be satisfied with me. I want God to be satisfied with White Oak Independent Baptist Church.
Amen.
And so, you know what we're going to do? We're going to study God's Word. We're near Sunday school, we're going to study His Word. And Wednesday nights, we're going to study His Word. And we're going to preach His Word. And God tells us and promises us that we'll be approved of Him if we do those things. Amen. All right, so the next thing, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 20. The next point in the series here on how to study the Bible is do not privately interpret the Scriptures. When you're studying God's Word, do not privately interpret the Scriptures. And I'll expound a little bit more on that in just a second. 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And we'll look at verse number, verse number 20. 2 Peter 1:20. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, 2 Peter 1 verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. All right, this verse is pretty self-explanatory. Amen. The most important thing you need to realize about the Bible is the Bible always interprets itself. Every time the Bible interprets, if you want to know more about a verse in the Bible, use the Bible to find out what that verse means. You can go and read 100 different commentaries on this verse right here, and you'll get 100 different answers. You'll go ask 20 different people, what do they think about this verse? And you'll get 20 different answers. But you can look at God's Word and study it out and look in the Scriptures, and it'll tell you exactly what it's talking about. There's a popular and kind of a dumb statement set out in the world today. I just said it a second ago. If you get 20 people to read the same verse, you'll get 20 different interpretations of that verse. And private interpretation is done by taking a verse out of its context and assigning it to whatever you want it to fit.
Amen.
And I can't tell you how many churches are doing that this morning. How many Christians are doing that this morning? They take one verse and they put it where they want it to go, and they apply it to what they want to apply it to, and then they run with that. There's churches today that in their church creed, Acts chapter 2 verse 38 is in a lot of churches' creeds, the Church of Christ, Church of God. I can go on and mention some more, and that verse says, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Okay, that's what the verse says, and that's exactly what it means, but it doesn't apply to you. It goes to rightly dividing the Scriptures. But they take that verse and they say, well, you have to repent and be water baptized for salvation. But they take that one verse by itself and they build their whole church around that one verse. That's why it's important not to privately interpret the Scripture. So I'm going to give you some examples this morning of private interpretation that goes on today. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. One of the most dangerous things you can do, and one of the most damning and harmful things you can do in a church or as a Christian, is privately interpret the Scriptures. There's been many a men and ladies that have left churches because they got told that they couldn't do something because of something in their life or some event that took place, and they privately interpret the Scriptures, and they're out of church today. It's happened time and time again. I've seen it happen and knock folks out because of private interpretation. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to get y'all trained before too long. That way y'all let me know it's there. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 34. All right. This verse is privately interpreted among a lot of churches today and Christians. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. This one verse by itself is taken from here and taught in a lot of churches that women have no right to give a testimony in church. They have no right to speak in church. They have no right to teach a Sunday school class. They have no voice in a meeting.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's what it is. They use that verse to teach that. And some of y'all might have been in churches or heard people say that before. Now, women are not supposed to usurp authority over a man. They're not supposed to pastor a church. They're not supposed to stand behind a pulpit and preach. But they take this verse right here and they say that women can't do anything. They can't say anything, and they privately interpret these scriptures. Okay, can I tell you what the context of this chapter is? It's speaking in tongues. All right, and tongues have been done away with. That's a whole other study for another day. All right, tongues were a sign for an unbelieving Jew. The Jews require a sign. 1 Corinthians 1:21, they require a sign. And those the tongues were for a sign to the unbelieving Jew. This was during a transitional period in the Bible. That's a whole other study another time. But what Paul's dealing with here, these women were out loud speaking in tongues. And one of the rules for speaking in tongues here was that the women were not allowed to do it. They had to do it in private at their house with their husband helping them. All right? And that again, that's a whole other study. But that's what this verse is dealing with. It's saying, Paul was telling the church that the women were not allowed to get up in church and speak in tongues. And just a little side note, in the churches that do speak in tongues, you know the very first one to get up and speak in tongues?
Amen.
It's a woman usually. It is, and that's the number one rule in speaking in tongues. If it was for today, the women are not supposed to be doing it, but most of the time it's the women doing it. Again, that's another study for another time. But I'm trying to talk about private interpreting verses. Now, you could get in a church somewhere and a pastor stand up and read this one verse and say that you, lady in here this morning, can't stand up and give a testimony in church about how good God's been to you. Or that you can't stand up and teach a Sunday school class. Amen? To teach the teenagers or teach the young kids. And there is people and there's churches that teach that. But that's privately interpreting the scriptures. They're taking this one verse that says, let your women keep silence in the churches, and they're placing it where they want to put it to teach what they want to teach. And if you got to go back and read that whole chapter. God's dealing with speaking in tongues in the church, and that's what it is. All right, look at John chapter 3. Let's go look at another example. And if we could go on and on and on these examples of private interpretation in the scriptures.
Amen.
John chapter, amen, there we go. Praise the Lord. We got one on board. John chapter 3, I want you all to see these things. And I ask that you bring your Bible to church, amen. And you study the Word of God with me, and you'll be approved of God also. So we want you to turn to these scriptures. Whenever we do a Bible study, we're going to take our Bibles and turn to these verses. So, John chapter 3 and verse number 5. All right, John chapter 3, verse 5.
Amen.
All right, everybody there? All right. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This verse is used and privately interpreted to teach water baptism for salvation. All right? They don't take the context of the scriptures. Look at verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? All right, based off of that verse, what is the born of water talking about?
Natural birth.
It's talking about natural birth. Medical lesson for you. When a baby's born, he's born in a water sack, right? I don't know a whole lot about that, and I don't care to know a whole lot about that, amen? But he's born in a water sack. He's born of water. All right? And so the second birth is born of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus goes, it says here, he asks about, can he enter back into his mother's womb? And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." All right, look at verse 6. That which is born of the what?
Flesh
is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is what?
Spirit.
That's your first birth. All right, everybody in here has gone through that. It's kind of obvious, amen. You wouldn't be sitting here this morning if you hadn't. But not everybody might have been through the second birth. I have been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the family of God, and I'm saved. I've had two births.
Amen.
You ever heard the saying, born twice, die once?
Amen.
Or born once and die twice? The Bible says in Revelation, after this, it's the second death. Amen. Talk about that lake of fire. And so it's much better to be born twice and die one time. You might die here on this earth. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But that's the only death that I have to go through. Amen. I get to spend eternity with God up in heaven. But if you're lost here this morning and you've been born once and you haven't been born again by the blood, Brother Zane, you can go tell them they can come in. I don't know who's standing out there, but it's going to be a little while. You go tell them they can come in and they won't be interrupting us. You're born once, die twice, but if you haven't been saved, you're going to die a physical death, and then you're going to wake up in hell. Then you're going to come out of hell one day and stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and he's going to ask, "What have you done with my son?" And you're going to say, "I didn't accept him," and then you're going to die a second time.
Amen.
And go down into the lake of fire. Amen. But this verse right here, you can take this one verse and you can go down the road to the Church of Christ, and there's some other churches you can go to, and they say that you have to be water baptized for salvation, and they'll use this verse right here. Am I wrong, Brother Scott? They'll do it. Amen. They'll teach those things. You know what that is? It's privately interpreting the Scriptures.
Amen.
That's taking one verse and putting it where they want to put it. When you're studying your Bible, do not do that. Don't do it, amen. That's an important rule. If you want to know what God has to say, you pray and you search that thing out in the Scriptures, and God will reveal it to you and show you what that's talking about. And most of the time, you can just go read the verses before it and the verses after it and know exactly what it's talking about. Over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we were earlier. You just read that whole chapter and you'll see that Paul is dealing with tongues in the Corinthian church. Some of those folks wanted the gift of tongues, and they were standing up just blabbing away, and they were saying, "Look at me, I have tongues," and they were doing it all wrong. And that's what Paul's dealing with. All right, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And what I'm doing here in these Sunday school lessons is I'm laying a foundation of studying the Scriptures, because when we finish this study, you know what we're going to do during Sunday school? We're going to study the Bible.
Amen.
We're going to teach doctrines of the Bible. We're going to teach about salvation, and we're going to teach about all the wonderful things that took place the day that you got saved. But I want you to understand the rules of us studying the Bible. If you ever come across something you think is contradictory, don't interrupt me during class, but we'll get together right after class and we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. I'd love to. Amen. We want to know what the Bible has to say. Don't take my word for it. Bring your Bible, open your Bible, and see what the Holy Spirit tells you about that thing. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and look at verse number 15. This is another verse that's privately interpreted. Again, we could go on and on and on and on with verses. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Alright? The folks that teach in purgatory, that you could end up in purgatory and you have to stay there and burn for a little while, but then you get to come out, they use this verse to teach that. This verse does not say anything about anyone burning. But I'm telling you, I've heard people use this verse to teach that thing about purgatory. And because of how you've lived on this earth, because of what you've done, that you'll go to this place called purgatory, you'll burn for a while, and once you've paid your price, you'll come back out. Now, can y'all tell me, who's the youngest one in here besides the... you got your Bible over there, son? I don't mean to embarrass you, but what does it say right there in verse 15? If any man's what? If any man's work, does that say of any man? No. If any man's works, what this is dealing with here is the judgment seat of Christ. And every one of us are going to stand before God, and all of our works that we've done after salvation are going to go through a fire. If we did them for God, we did them for Christ, they'll come through as precious stones, as gold and silver, and those things that we can lay back at Jesus' feet. But if all the works we did after salvation were for ourselves and were selfish, you might have put money in the plate, you might have went out and gave out a tract, you might have done this or done that, but if you did it for yourself and not for God, it's all going to burn up. That's what this verse is talking about. It's not talking about purgatory, but this verse is used to teach about purgatory. Do y'all see how private interpretation can be damning to some folks? And someone might be sitting in church, and they hear somebody get up and teach this stuff and take one verse, and they don't study their Bible, and they don't know any better. It can mess them up. They can end up dying and going to hell sitting in some of these churches because they got dunked in the water and they're trusting that for salvation and they're not trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. But they're, you know, the Church of Christ teaches that whenever they go into that water, the city water system, whenever their body goes under that water, that through that water and through that preacher, that Jesus Christ's blood touches their soul, and that's how they're saved. Through the city water system.
Won't even drink it.
Amen? Yeah. Some folks in here won't even drink it. They got to have bottled water. But yet they're trusting that for salvation. And they get out of that thing, and the preacher tells them, all right, you got saved, now you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit and all those things, and they're trusting that for salvation, and they're sitting there dying and going to hell.
Amen.
All because of private interpretation, not rightly dividing the scriptures. Amen? Don't ever let me or any other preacher get up here and just tell you something. Now, I'll get up here when I'm preaching. I don't have time to go through all the verses and I'll tell you something. But if it don't sit right with you, you go home and open your Bible and study that thing out.
Amen.
Don't go pull up another preacher. Don't go pull up a concordance and just go with what they're saying. What does the Bible have to say? Don't go pull up John MacArthur. Don't go put up any of these other guys or these other teachers out here that are teaching these things. Don't go pull that up. See what the Bible has to say.
Amen.
Amen. See what the Word of God has to say about the thing. So here, this is dealing with the judgment seat of Christ and all the works that we'll go through. All right, take your Bible back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Back in our text verse. So you got to be saved to study the Word of God. You got to believe that it's the Word of God. You got to search the Scriptures. You got to compare Scripture with Scripture. And do not privately interpret the Scriptures when you're studying. Alright, then this will be our last point. We'll probably take a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks to go through it, and then we're going to start just going through the Bible and study it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15 is our text verse for the whole Bible study. It'll be our text verse for every study. Study to show thyself the prover unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What's the next two words?
Rightly
dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
All right? So, that's pretty self-explanatory. What are we supposed to do with the Bible? Divide it. Not just divide it, we're supposed to rightly divide the Bible when we're studying it. Okay, that's something that we're supposed to do. I didn't just make that up. That's not private interpretation. That's what the Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, that doesn't mean take out what you don't want in there. And some people teach that. Amen? You divide it up so much and you take out all the stuff that you don't want. And you can divide the Bible up to where there's hardly nothing there that you're trying to glean from. And that's not what this is talking about here. This is the greatest verse in the Bible on how to study the Bible. The Bible itself teaches us how to study. And the man that refuses to follow this verse, he'll never get his Bible right. If you don't rightly divide the Word of God when you're studying and when you're teaching, you'll never, ever get this thing down right. You're going to teach something to somebody that doesn't belong to them. You're going to teach works for salvation. You're going to teach water baptism for salvation. And all those things are in the Bible. I can take the Bible right now and I can teach water baptism for salvation and it's in there. but it doesn't belong to you. It's called rightly dividing the word of truth. And you don't understand that big picture right now, but when we get done, amen, about 10 years from now, you'll understand it more, amen? When we go through this thing. Let me show you some principles and examples of rightly dividing the word of God. All right, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11. The Bible is not just written for the Christian in the church age today. It's not just written for the Christian in the church age today. You got to understand this thing. This Bible was written, and God dealt with man all the way in the garden with Adam and Eve. Can anybody tell me this morning what Adam and Eve's method of salvation was? Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the only commandment they were given. Amen? Is that right? Did God tell them they had to do anything else for salvation? Did God tell them they had to do anything else to stay in fellowship with Him? No. The only thing they had was do not. Amen. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every other tree, you can eat whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. You can have a good time. They didn't have a conscience at that time. So their conscience was not guiding them. It was just do not eat of this tree. And they failed.
Amen.
And we've been failing ever since. Man has been failing ever since. So they had that thing of conscience after that God gave them, but we'll get in that in just a second. All right? Remember this rule. When you're studying your Bible, remember this rule. The whole Bible is written for you, but the whole Bible is not written to you.
Amen.
I'll say that again. The whole Bible is written for you, but the whole Bible is not written to you. Does everybody understand what I'm saying there?
Amen.
I can read over Matthew chapter number 24 and 25 and go through there and read those things. That's the Constitution for the millennium, where it talks about doing good to your brother and all those things, and goes through there and talks about the blessed man. Blessed is the man that does this, and blessed is the man that does this. Now, you can get a lot of help from that, some spiritual help on how to treat your brother. Okay, but doctrinally, that's not to you. But doctrinally, it's for the millennium, for those folks during that 1,000 years. And you might not understand all that, but we'll get to it. All right, Leviticus chapter 11 and verse number 1 and 2. All right, Brother Scott, would you read that good and loud for me?
Verse 1 and 2?
Well, actually, Leviticus chapter 1, 11, 1 through 12, if you don't mind. All right, yeah, read it good and loud.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is cloven footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that cheweth the cud, or of them that divide the hoof. As the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever hath fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas, and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever hath no fins, nor scales in the waters, that shall be an abomination unto you.
All right. So that just gave a big list of things that they're allowed to eat and things that they weren't allowed to eat. All right, in the Old Testament. Now, have any of you eaten some of those things that he mentioned there that says you're not supposed to eat?
Amen.
Hey, we all have, all right? Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. All right, so there's that thing. We're talking about rightly dividing the word of truth now. So over there in Leviticus, you read that, man, there's a whole list of things that you're allowed to eat, things you're not allowed to eat. All right, that was Leviticus 11, 1 through 12. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 3 and 4. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 4. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be what?
Refused
if it be received with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Now we have a contradiction in the Bible. Leviticus says there's things you can eat, there's things you're not supposed to eat. Over here it says as long as we give God thanks for it, we can eat it. All right, that's a contradiction in the Bible, right? If we rightly divide the word of truth, there's no contradiction.
Amen.
Leviticus is for you. You say, how's that for me? It's for your information, amen? It's for your information. And if you follow that Jewish law and that Levitical diet, you'll probably be more healthy for it. You would be if you follow those things. But we go over here to 1 Timothy, and we see that everything, you know, that as long as we ask thanksgiving for it and thank God for it, it's good for you. So Leviticus is for you. It's for your information. Timothy is written to you.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all see the difference there? All right, so the Bible's, we're going to end with this right here. The Bible's divided into different periods of time. In each period of time, God dealt differently with man. And these time periods are referred to as dispensations. All right, dispensing means to dispense. God dispensed out different things down through the ages. The plan of salvation varies in some of these time periods. All right, and I'm going to give you this list of them here in just a second. And you might not fully understand it, but just stick with us and come to Sunday school. And man, the Lord will open that thing up to you. And it'll really help when you're studying your Bible.
Amen.
It'll help a whole lot. I can't tell you how many times I've dealt with people and they've come to me and they said, man, I don't understand my Bible. I'm having a hard time with it. And they're over there reading in the book of James about works for salvation. And they said, man, I just don't understand that. And I said, that's not to you. That's not talking about your salvation. And they don't know, and because they don't know how to rightly divide the Word of God, it's just confusing. So they just put the Bible up and don't even worry about it. Amen. But once you get this, it'll open things up and man, it'll really come alive. And we'll get into the details and discussions of that a little bit later. So I'm going to give you these things real quick. Number one, there's the dispensation of innocency. The dispensation of innocency. All right, that is Adam and Eve in the garden. They were completely innocent. There was no sin. There was no any of those things. When they first started out, they were completely innocent. And the only salvation they had was do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a negative thing. Now, for us to get saved today, we have to do something. All right, we have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come in our heart and save us. All right? But God just said, don't eat it. Now, the devil messed with the word of God and Eve and said, don't touch it. But that's not what he said. He said, do not eat it. And again, you say, well, why did he do that? Because God's given every man a choice. Down through here, when I read off these things and give you a brief synopsis of it, every time God has given man a choice because God wants you to choose him. God wants man to choose him. All right, so the dispensation of innocency, that's Adam and Eve. After that, you have the dispensation of conscience. The dispensation of conscience. Whenever they took and ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it wasn't the tree of good and evil, it wasn't just any kind of tree, it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. As soon as they ate of that tree, I believe it was grapes, we'll get into that, it's a whole other study later, but whenever they partook of that fruit, they received a conscience at that time. What's the very first thing they did when they ate that fruit? Somebody tell me. They put clothes on. The very first thing they did is said, I'm naked. All right, well, how did they know they were naked? How did they know that was wrong to be naked? They ate of the knowledge of tree of good and evil. And immediately they said, hey, I'm naked. I need to put some clothes on. Amen. There's a lot of people need to realize that today. They're naked. They need to put some clothes on. Amen. The summer's warming up and people are getting naked everywhere. All right, they need to put some clothes on, amen. But the dispensation of conscience. So now they have a conscience telling them what to do, what's right and what's wrong, what's evil and what's right. Amen? And so now that conscience, they're judged by their conscience. All right? That they have the experience in the garden and they have the conscience. And after that, the dispensation of human government. That's the third one. The dispensation of human government. And so they disobeyed in the garden. God gave them a conscience. The Bible says over there in the book of Genesis that man did every evil thing that they imagined. So their conscience is saying, that's wrong, and they did it anyway. So God said, that's not working. We're going to give human government. God established human government. And so the man was supposed to judge man. If you went and killed somebody, then you were to be killed. All right, human government. So God established that. Do you know what they ended up doing? They all decided to join together and join forces and build a tower to go to try to get to where God's at, the Tower of Babel. God's like, man, I made it so easy for man. I made it simple for man. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just don't eat it. And they messed up. I gave them a conscience to tell them what to do. They disobeyed their conscience. They did every evil thing that they could imagine. I gave them human government. They decided to all get together and build a tower trying to be like gods. So then after that, we have the next one, the dispensation of promise. The dispensation of promise. All right, this is where you find the calling out of Abraham, the father of the Jews. All right, God promises these things. He calls out a people, the Jewish people, and he says, I'm going to give you this land, and I want to be your God. I want you to be my people. And he calls them out. They end up disobeying God. They end up not going to the land. They end up leaving. God tells them to go and get out from the land they're at, and they disobey him and don't obey God. So God said, that doesn't work. The next one, the dispensation of law. In each and every one of these, God deals with man differently. In every one of them, he deals with man differently. And that's why, and we're going to go over all this stuff. Please don't be overwhelmed by it. The dispensation of law. God, there in Exodus chapter 20, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And now he said, I'm going to give you a law. Follow this law. And you know what the people said? They said, we will do it. They agreed to that law. All right? They didn't keep the law. We know that. All right? So then you have the next one is the dispensation of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. That is an extension of the law. They were still under the law, but now something's changed. Jesus Christ is here on the earth, and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. How did that end? It ended with him dying on the cross. So Jesus Christ is here, and he's preaching all the things that were in the law, and now they have another opportunity, and they nail him to a cross. They refuse again. God says, all right, that didn't work. I'm going to give them grace. The next one is the dispensation of grace. That is the time period that we are in today. We are in the dispensation of the grace of God. All right? And today it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. We don't have to keep the law for salvation. We don't have to do none of those things. Amen? We just have to believe that he died on the cross for our sins and ask him to save us and we're saved. Amen? Amen. All right? And that's the dispensation of grace. All right, the next dispensation is the dispensation of tribulation. Of tribulation. When the church is raptured out of here, the tribulation begins. Amen? And we're going to get into all this stuff later. And then ninth, the dispensation of the millennium. The millennium, that's the 1,000-year reign where Jesus Christ himself will be sitting on this earth, ruling and reigning. On this earth. Jesus Christ will be on this earth ruling and reigning from Jerusalem. He said, I don't see how that can happen now. Well, it's going to happen. Amen. And then lastly, the dispensation of the fullness of times. That's eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. And I can take this Bible. You might not understand it now, but we're going to go through this. And like I said, 10 years from now, you might get a bit better picture of this thing. But you got to understand these things whenever you're studying your Bible. Let's do this. I know we've gone over. We're about to have snacks and all those things. Take your Bible and find Romans chapter 1. In one hand, get Romans chapter 1, and then go find the book of Philemon, chapter 1, verse 25. All right? So save your place in Romans 1 and find. I want everybody to do this. Romans chapter 1, Philemon verse 25. All right? And I want you to take those and hold them between your two fingers. All right, once everybody's got it, like I've got it right here, just hold it between your fingers, and then you can look up here. Romans chapter 1 through Philemon 25. All right, everybody got it? Almost?
Amen.
Amen. I got one. I got two, amen. All right, Romans chapter 1, Philemon 25. All right, everybody got it between their fingers? This, do what? It don't matter what fingers you use.
No, what
Romans chapter 1 in the book of Philemon.
Put that whole area.
Yeah, the whole area, just like this in your hand. I just want to give you an illustration real quick.
Romans 1 to Philemon.
Verse 25. Alright. Still got some. That's fine. We'll take the time. We're trying to learn these things. Hey, trust me, if you keep coming to Sunday school here in about a year or so, you'll be flying through your Bible. You'll know where every book is, every verse and everything. Because we're going to turn in the Scriptures, amen. I want you to turn. You say, I don't know how to get there that fast. That's fine, just stick with it, amen. It'll be all right. All right, Philemon's 1, Romans chapter 1 through Philemon. Now you got that between your fingers? All right, this is what is written to you doctrinally today. Look at the rest of the Bible. You see that right there? This right here is doctrinally for salvation for the church today. That is what's written to you today.
Amen.
The rest of this Bible, the Jews. All right? That might blow your mind here this morning. But the Jews is God's chosen people. God's not through dealing with the Jew.
Amen.
All back here, the Jew. All right? Right here, grace. The mystery of grace. Amen. Dealing with the Jew and Gentile, one body, the body of Christ, the church. This is what's written to us doctrinally and spiritually. The whole Bible's for us. I'll preach in the Old Testament, and we'll get a lot of spiritual help out of it. How to be a better man, how to be a better servant of Christ, a better steward. But doctrinally for salvation, if it's not found right there, then you're not going to get salvation out of there. It's right here. Amen? And doctrines for the church today. God dealt with the Jew. We're in the mystery time period, the body of Christ. God dealt with the... Once the church is raptured out, from here to here, all right, from Hebrews to Revelation, God's back dealing with the Jew again. And so when you're reading your Bible, man, when you're studying through there, you come across something in one of them other books that you don't understand, and you say, I'm not doing that, I don't know if I'm saved, don't worry about that. God will show you what that's really talking about, but that's not written... to you, that's written for you.